Good morning, and it's wonderful to see you all. I guess winter's finally arrived, and I think tomorrow marks 7 weeks past with 6 weeks to go of winter. So one of the reasons I love February 1st is it allows me to say spring is next month. So amen, amen. So I'm so thankful you made it here safely. We've prayed to that end that you were able to dig out of the snow and the ice. My dear daughter and her family, my son-in-law and their four kids, came over to Latitude's apartments and dug our vehicles out of the snow and ice, and I'm so very, very grateful to them. So I think that's Fred Grenier, my dear pastor friend, Emily Best's dad. So wonderful to see you, brother. It's wonderful to see. It's wonderful to see everybody on this cold day. So we're going to be talking about a spiritual gift that really applies to many of you. And this is a day where I think you're going to be encouraged and affirmed by God the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the spiritual gift of helps. And so many faces and names came to mind as I was preparing this week. And so we see this mentioned in a couple of places in Scripture, and we'll just read these Scriptures before we pray. But 1 Corinthians 12:28, a verse we've been camped in for a while, says, "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps," which is the one we'll look at today, "administrations, various kinds of tongues." And then in Romans 12:6-7, I want you to look for the word service, because those gifts are highly related. "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching." Let's pray one more time, shall we? Father, thank you for a wonderful time of worship. Thank you, Lord, how you prepared our worship team. You prepared Grant, Lord, to give us a word from you that has already spoken to us, encouraged us, drawn us into your presence. And Lord, I certainly want to put water and Miracle-Gro on the seed that Grant planted, that Lord, the time for surrender to you is today. The time to come home to you is today. And Lord, there's nothing more you must do to prove your love to us, because you demonstrated your love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, your dear son Jesus died for us. And Lord, I know that there are people here with unspeakable burdens, things that we may not be able to mention publicly just yet, but Lord, minister comfort to those families. And Lord, may they be assured that today you are bigger than the weight that is pressing down, bigger than the fear and the doubts. And draw them, Father, to yourself, to each other, and to their church family that loves and cares. Lord, we continue to pray for Beth Grafman and her family. Lord, I thank you for their hard work. I thank you for, Lord, the courage and determination that they continue to show. Thank you for those who have been generous toward them. But Lord, open a door for them. Lord, you have said that you know what we need before we ask. And so you are a good, good Father. If we need bread, you will not give us a stone. And if we need a fish, Lord, you'll not give us a serpent. And so, Lord, you have told us to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. strengthens the roots of our faith, Father. Lord, meet every need. Lord, where we need encouragement, where we need to be lifted up, Lord, as we're digging out of a storm, as we're dealing with a pandemic, as we're in a dark and troubled world, Lord, encourage us where we need to be encouraged, where we need to be convicted, where we've been hard-hearted or hard-headed. Father, may we yield to you. May we confess our stubbornness and, Lord, bring our sin to the cross, where your blood was shed to wash us clean. And we can look into your eyes without fear or shame. And for an empty tomb that promises, Lord, that you love us exactly as we are, but you love us too much to leave us as we are, there is resurrection power to change. We thank you. So, Father, for every need today, for those who are recovering from illness at home, Lord, for every family joining us by live stream, Lord, may you meet us in this moment. Our message is your word and not our own. Our motive is Christ's glory and not our own. And our confidence is the Spirit's power and not our own. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear ones, you've heard me quote Ray Pritchard from time to time. I had never heard of him until years ago when we took some of the teens from this church to Word of Life in Scroon Lake, New York. Grant and Amy, were you on one of those two trips? Are they here even? Do any of you remember going there? It was a while back. Word of Life is in Scroon Lake is nestled in the Adirondack Mountains. It's just a beautiful place. The younger kids were at the Word of Life Ranch, and the older kids were on the Word of Life Island, and the adults who went, we were at the Word of Life Inn. And while the kids were enjoying their amazing camp experience, the adults were enjoying a Bible conference. One of the speakers was Erwin Lutzer, who most of us have probably heard of, longtime pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago, also the campus church of Moody Bible Institute. And you've likely heard him on the Moody Bible radio network. Here locally, it's 97.9 FM, a wonderful preacher who does a Billy Graham imitation like you cannot even imagine, and he did it for us then. But the other speaker was Ray Pritchard. And he has since become one of my favorite preachers. Ray has the ability to take complex subjects and make them clear and practical. And he's also one of my many sources for our current sermon series. And so regarding the gift of helps, Ray tells this story. He said, I met Bill Petch when I was fresh out of seminary and starting my first pastorate, a small and struggling church. There were about 50 people left in a church built for 300. Bill Petch was there to greet me when we moved into the parsonage. Bill was a truck driver. He made his living picking up new cars that arrived at the Long Beach Harbor and delivering them to dealers all over the West Coast. He wore bib overalls and loved to chew tobacco. He'd dip into his Red Man and say, Preacher, why don't you try some of this? It's better than ice cream. Ray said, I was never man enough to take him up on that. In a small church, you get to know people pretty well. I soon found out that Bill came from a hard background. He didn't know much Bible. He couldn't teach. And it was probably not a good idea to ask him to lead in prayer. He had a lot of rough edges in his life. But I found out one thing soon enough. Bill Petch loved to help people. If we needed help around the church, Bill would drive up in his pickup truck get out his toolbox and go to work. If someone needed a place to stay, he and his wife Karen would take them in. In fact, most of the time I knew Bill, somebody was staying with them. We didn't have many men in that church, so Bill ended up on the church board as the missions chairman, I think. He did it because he wanted to help out. Eventually, he and Karen moved to Houston. But when the time came for us to move from Los Angeles to Dallas, Bill took a week off work, flew to Los Angeles, and drove the Ryder truck with all our belongings from Los Angeles to Dallas. He stayed long enough to make sure we got moved in okay. Then he went back to Houston, smiling all the way. Bill Petsch was a diamond in the rough. A little bit of diamond and a whole lot of rough. And in every church, I think, Joe and Fred, you would agree, we've all known men like Bill Petsch. And they're spiritually gifted in a unique way. They have what the Bible calls the gift of helps or service. Okay. So, if you printed off your outline, let's talk about what this means exactly. What is the spiritual gift of helps? We can define it this way. Helps is the gift of enabling others to use their spiritual gifts by meeting practical needs in a timely way. The spiritual gift of helps is closely linked to the spiritual gift of service. Now, some view helps and service as separate gifts, while others view them as two sides of the same coin. Okay. Now, I think this is interesting. The Greek word for help is antilemsis. It comes from a preposition meaning in exchange for, and a verb which means to take hold of. So to help is to take hold of another person's burden. It doesn't mean you're necessarily taking the burden from the person, but it's the idea of a guy's got a piano to move, and it's going to be very difficult for him to move that by himself. You're the person who says, I'll grab a leg of that piano, and I'll try to find a couple of other guys to help us too, and somebody else with a whatever you use to move pianos. All right. Now, the word translated service is very familiar to all of us. It's from the Greek word diakonia, from which we get our English word, can you think of it? Deacon. All right. It originally referred to one who waited on tables, but refers to any service you render to someone. This is usually connected with meeting physical and material needs. Ray Pritchard said, the people with this gift are usually not upfront types. Generally, they get their fulfillment by enabling others to use their gifts effectively. It truly doesn't matter to them whose name is up on the marquee. Someone else may get the credit, but behind the scenes are the helpers who made it all happen. They're often unsung, unnoticed, and overlooked, but they are not unrewarded, and they are not unimportant. Someone said, they're the ones washing dishes after we've gone home. They're the ones putting up the chairs while we crawl over them to get to the exits. They're the ones who ask if they can help carry or clean or deliver while everyone else is in their cars heading home. They enjoy the party best if they're in the kitchen or at the barbecue pit or handing out the food. We want to be served. They want to serve. Someone else said, some see the gift of helps as given to those who are willing to lend a hand and do even the most mundane and disagreeable tasks with a spirit of humility and grace. Helpers, for example, volunteer to work regularly around church building and grounds, often laboring in obscurity. For others, it's assisting the widows or needy families in crisis with needed tasks. But there's also a deeper meaning to the spiritual gift of helps. And I never knew where to put this ability before in the church, but this is the place. It's the unique ability to identify those who are struggling with doubt, fears, and other spiritual battles. They move toward those in spiritual need with a kind word, an understanding and compassionate demeanor, and the unique ability to speak spiritual truth in convincing and loving fashion. The writer of Proverbs put it this way in Proverbs 25, verse 11. He said, like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Have you had that experience? Somebody just said something, maybe it came in a text, but it was exactly the word you needed. You knew it was a word from God. And it changed your entire perspective. These helpful Christians can calm an anxious heart with cheerful and confidently spoken words of truth and joy, unquote. And this is what I call the gift of encouragement. That doesn't show up on any list in Scripture, but that's where it belongs, in the gift of helps. And so thank the Lord for the encouragers in our church and in our lives. Those with the spiritual gift of helps, here's the bottom line, seek to lift the physical, material, emotional, and spiritual burdens of their brothers and sisters in the church. And so, what would be the strengths then, the strengths of the gifts of helps and service? This is from the Shepherds of the Lost. But let me give you 10 strengths of those of you with these gifts. And there are many more than this, but let me give you 10. One, deep joy in serving, especially when it releases others to get more involved in the ministry. Two, you'd rather serve than lead others or lead projects. Three, alertness to detect and meet practical needs, especially enjoys meeting a need before it is recognized by those being served. Fourth, strongly supports others who are in leadership. Five, prefers doing a job to delegating it. Six, view serving to be of primary importance in life. Seven, is a detailed person with a good memory. Eight, is more interested in meeting the needs of others than their own needs. Nine, tends to do more than asked to do. And 10, doesn't mind handling what may seem to be mundane or menial tasks if they are what needs to be done. And those of us that have served as pastors, our lives have lasted this long because of people with those gifts. People who found joy and fulfillment in serving, not caring if they got the credit. This is one reason we say around here, it doesn't matter who gets the credit as long as God gets the glory. Well, you with the spiritual gift of helps, that's really your life motto. And so what are some examples in the Bible? Well, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Acts 6. This is a good place for us to start. Acts 6. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Well, there's so much here to highlight, but let me give you just a few things. One, notice the importance that God places on caring for our widows. This is religion 101 according to James, caring for widows and orphans. And God is paying very close attention to how we treat our widows. Okay? But secondly, notice the importance God places on meeting the physical needs of people. You know, sometimes we make an artificial distinction between the spiritual and the physical, and this is a good time to remind us that Scripture says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything in life is sacred. If your gift is helps and service, you are not a second-class Christian with a second-class gift. Your gift is as vitally important as preaching and teaching and the things that we tend to call the spiritual and the public gifts. Also, notice that those who meet the physical, material needs of the church are to be led by men filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Again, our best men are leading this ministry of caring for widows, caring for orphans, meeting physical needs. But notice also that this ministry must be accomplished without neglecting the word of God in prayer. And so if you want the big takeaway from the message, it's what I'm going to say next. A congregation is properly cared for only when everyone is exercising their spiritual gift. Let's say that again. A congregation is properly cared for only when everyone is exercising his or her spiritual gift. All right, you're in Acts 6. Turn to Acts 9. I want to show you someone else who had this gift in abundance. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 36. This is a beautiful story. This is about Tabitha. Acts 9, beginning in verse 36. Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciple, having heard that Peter was there, sent 2 men to him, imploring him, "Do not delay in coming to us." So Peter arose and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping. and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. And calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. So this precious woman of God was faithful to use her gift of helps, making tunics and other garments for people in the church and in the community. She likely had no idea of the impact she was making in the kingdom of God. It's interesting, isn't it, that God used Peter to raise a woman with the gift of helps, not a man with a more dynamic public spiritual gift. And news of her being alive brought many to saving faith in Christ. All right, you're in the book of Acts. Next book, Romans. Go to Romans 16. Romans 16. And let's look at someone else with this gift. Her name was Phoebe. Romans 16, beginning with verse 1. Paul said, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. Okay, so know that in Bible times, letters of introduction to strangers, this was common. Phoebe either carried Paul's letter to the Romans or accompanied those who did. The name Phoebe is interesting. It means bright and radiant, and likely described her ministry of helping others and perhaps her personality as well. She was from Cenchrea, seaport 8 or 9 miles from Corinth. Paul was asking the Roman believers to treat Phoebe with sincere love and gracious hospitality, as is fitting for the people whom Christ has so received. And it didn't matter that they had never met before. They were to assist her in her ministry tasks while in Rome. Perhaps she ministered to the sick, assisted the poor, aided widows and orphans, or showed hospitality to strangers and travelers. Whatever her role was, Paul the apostle, preacher of the gospel, church planter, missionary, thought it important to give honor to whom honor was due, a woman with the gift of helps and service, and wanted to clear a path for her to use her ministry gifts with the church at Rome. Now, speaking of hospitality, and this is the fourth example I want to touch on in Scripture. 1 Peter 4, 9 and 10. Scripture says, "Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." All right. So, as you know, in those days, there were no Comfort Inns. There were no Hampton Inns. There were no hotels and motels as we know them. As people traveled, they depended on other people to show hospitality, to open their homes for food and rest. And of course, there were not church buildings as we know them either. Believers worshiped primarily in other people's homes. So as the Holy Spirit opened the hearts of believers to the truth of the gospel, believers opened their homes and their pocketbooks to meet the needs of their brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, this to me is really interesting and insightful. The word hospitality comes from two Greek words, which literally means to love a stranger. That's what the word means, to love a stranger. Now, we come back to love once again. We've been talking about that through this whole series. Our spiritual gifts enable us to love God and love one another. Now, we looked at verses 9 and 10. Here's what verse 8 says, 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Now, our American culture stresses, quote, entertaining. Now, years ago, you don't hear it much today, but years ago you'd hear the expression, we're entertaining guests tonight. In American culture, entertainment focuses on the home and the furnishings and the place settings and the food. But as I've talked to you about before, some of the sweetest times Joanne and I have ever known with God's people have been in small, humble dwellings with simple furnishings and ordinary meals. Hospitality, beloved, don't miss this. Hospitality focuses on the people. That's the focus. It's a spirit that says you are welcome to share what God has given to me. Even at times, people who are strangers, even people who are not ever going to be able to do anything for you. Now, as we've been trying to do with all of the gifts, whatever strengths we have, whatever gifts we have, there are attendant weaknesses, areas of vulnerability where sometimes we need to help the helpers. Okay, can I give you some of those areas? Now, I think there's a word here for all of us. There are five areas where sometimes a helper needs to be helped. All right, one, there is a constant temptation to be overcommitted. And this can lead to stress and frustration for them and their families. The husband who volunteers his house and backyard for somebody's wedding reception may or may not remember to mention that to his wife. And all of a sudden, she's in panic mode because of his overcommitment. All right, second, spiritual priorities can be out of order because they're so focused on physical needs. So it might be easy to cheat on their quiet time and just serving and serving and serving, and all of a sudden their soul is as dry as the Gobi Desert. Three, there can be a tendency to be critical and demanding of those that they think should be helping, but aren't. Now, for these first three of the five, we see this illustrated perfectly in the life of Martha. So turn with me to Luke 10, Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Luke 10, beginning in verse 38. If anybody had the gift of helps, it was certainly Martha. Luke 10, beginning in verse 38. Now as they were traveling along, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." All right. So sometimes Martha gets a bad rap, so we're going to be fair. Martha loved Jesus. There's no doubt about it. I believe every bit as much as Mary. She welcomed him. She opened her heart and home to him. She was preoccupied with getting the house clean and the meal prepared, to the point where she was stressed and distracted from the primary reason Jesus came to visit. So for those with a dominant gift of service, beware of what I call the Martha syndrome. We talked about this months ago, but this is a good place to repeat this. There are four parts to the Martha syndrome. First is hard thoughts toward Christ. Look at verse 40 again. "Lord, do you not care? Do you not see? Do you not notice? Are you so preoccupied with everything else on your mind that you don't understand the pressure I'm under right now as I'm trying to serve you?" Second, hard thoughts toward people. Verse 40. "My sister has left me." She doesn't notice or seem to care either. She's abandoned me. She has shirked her duties and forsaken her responsibilities and put me in a very bad light as someone who is woefully unprepared to properly host our Lord. Third, a distorted view of self. "My sister has left me to do all the serving alone." You get it? It all falls to me. All the responsibilities on my shoulders. Someone needs to step up and be the grown-up. I guess if you want it done right the first time, you do it yourself. And then fourth, an inverted view of lordship. Then, verse 40 again, "then tell her to help me." Now Martha is telling the Lord what to do. There's something wrong with a statement that begins "Lord" and ends with that person giving the orders. Hey, listen, if we were honest, we can all think of times when our prayers were basically telling God what to do. Giving him orders as if he were the genie in the lamp, existing to grant our wishes instead of us pleading his promises and promoting his glory in our trials. I believe you, we don't have audio of this conversation, but I believe Jesus is patient and very tender-hearted in his response to Martha. He reminds her that he was the actual host of the event. Jesus had prepared another kind of table for Mary and Martha, where he would share the bread of life. It was to be a time of intimate communion with Christ. Martha's efforts were seen and appreciated by Jesus, but the purpose of the hospitality was to facilitate the fellowship between Christ and his beloved children, in this case, Mary and Martha. Put another way, this is a word for every one of you who have this gift. our accomplishments for Christ flow out of our relationship with Christ. And that's the thing that we need to remind ourselves of constantly. Sometimes, all right, here's 4 and 5, ways to help those who are the helpers of our church. Number 4, sometimes those with the gift of helps take on burdens for people who should be carrying them by themselves. This is when helping hurts. All right. And I think God really helps us find the balance here in Galatians 6. So I want you to see 2 verses side by side, Galatians 6:2 and Galatians 6:5. Okay, now, Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." But we're not nearly as familiar as verse 5, which says, "For each one will bear his own load." It's such a help to us that those verses are in the same chapter. All right. So the Greek word for burden in verse 2 speaks of a weight that one person could never carry alone. And God entrusts these heavy weights to us to draw the church to Christ in humble dependence and to draw God's people to each other. Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Did you know that when you give some of your treasure, whether it's time or money or energy or expertise or counsel, that's where your heart will be. Your love for that person grows. Your love for Christ grows when we are bearing each other's burdens. But in verse 5, the Greek word for load is translated elsewhere as a soldier's backpack. It is a load designed to be carried by one person. There are loads each of us must carry. We are all given responsibilities in life to fulfill. So here's where wisdom for the deacons becomes really important. Remember in Acts 6, there are to be men filled with the Holy Spirit and with wisdom. Because throughout the year, we're in situations where we as pastors and deacons need wisdom from God to know when to take the burden entirely from somebody, or to, secondly, help the person with that burden, because a grand piano will not fit in anybody's backpack. Or, as is true in some cases, exhort the person to carry his backpack, to do his duty, to fulfill his responsibility. For example, in 2 Thessalonians, it says, "If a man refuses to work, he should not eat." Working is carrying our backpack. Okay? And that's why it's good when you have people with mercy gifts and gifts of helping to be with those who are wise and good at administration and have discernment to work together in ministry teams to figure out what does love look like in this situation. Does that make sense? Do you see how that works? How we bring all our gifts and we submit them to God and to each other. And God will lead us to the correct decision. A fifth way we may need to help the helpers is that sometimes they feel inadequate and unqualified for, quote, spiritual work. And this is a particular challenge when encouraging them about discipleship. And by the way, Lord willing, we'll announce times for the startup, the restart of discipleship next Sunday. But whatever your gift set, beloved, you can be equipped to disciple other people. Just need to know that. So, I close with Pastor Ray, who said, "Helpers and servers keep the church going. Without them, we would close down tomorrow. They are the mighty army of workers who give without any thought of return, who labor for hours behind the scenes, who invest untold hours that the Lord's work might go forward. Their great contribution is this: they release others for maximum ministry. Without the helpers and servers, the evangelists couldn't evangelize, the teachers couldn't teach, the leaders couldn't lead, and the pastors couldn't pastor. They stuff the bulletins, they answer the phones, they serve the cookies and juice, they mow the grass, they prepare the communion, they stack the chairs, they wash the linens in the nursery and baptistry, they shovel the snow, they come early to make the coffee, they count the money, they clean out bathrooms and classrooms and vacuum our halls and sanctuary, they prepare meals for the sick and for the bereaved, they staff our nursery so that parents can worship freely. And so, beloved, as with all the gifts, we need to worship God. When we see people helping, they are reflecting the God who identifies himself as our helper in many places in Psalms. You are glorifying God in your service. So let's thank him now, shall we? Father, there are so many people we could have named. It would have been naming a lot of people, but you know. And Lord, there's so much I know I take for granted. While, Lord, we hired somebody to plow the lot, somebody dug out the snow from the doors. Somebody put down the salt. Even this morning, somebody was out there with salt. There are people on their own time and out of their own pocket have remodeled and fixed plumbing, cut down tree branches, and it just goes on and on and on. And Lord, without them, we could not do what we do. Lord, like the Corps of Engineers, that without them there would be no winning the war, Lord. There would be no runways, there'd be no roads. There be no bridges. For those who are breaking codes and inventing bomb sites and radar and sonar. Lord, as we think of how the nation came together to win World War II, Lord, is a picture of how the church is to come together, everybody with a contribution to make. So Lord, I pray that first of all, our helpers and servers that are faithful will be strongly affirmed today. Great will their reward be in heaven. You are the God who sees and will see to it. For those who may be struggling, Father, in one of the areas that we talked about, Lord, may they receive encouragement and help themselves. For those with this gift, but Lord, not using it, may this be the day, as we talked about in our worship time, Lord, of surrendering. It's time to give back to you everything you've given to us. Jesus was your gift to us. Now our surrender is our gift to you. Take us and use us, Lord. For Lord, the church will never be properly cared for if we're not all using our gift. And so, Lord, we celebrate you. We thank you for these gifts, but most of all, Lord, the unspeakable gift of your Son. And for all of this, we pray in his name. Amen.